My friends. Oh, it's a beautiful day in the podcast hood. A beautiful day in the podcast hood. So won't you be a listener? I don't know. Anyways, what's up, friends? Welcome to the Simply Love Jesus podcast, where we explore life and faith through the lens of one question, which is, what does it mean to simply love Jesus? My name is Caleb, and I'm just, you know, I'm excited that you are here and you're listening to this episode. We are diving into a new series that will carry us all the way through this year, all the way through December of 2022. And the series that we are diving into is life. We are diving into life. You see, I don't know where you are or what you're doing, but at some point you were born. At some point you were born into this world, and you were a little toddler at one point, and you grew up, and maybe you're in high school now, or maybe you're in college, or you're out of college. You have lived an entire life. And just as you have lived an entire physical life, if you believe in Jesus, you believe that Jesus was a real person whose God came down to earth, was born and lived. He was a historical person. That's a fact. So that's different. But if you believe that Jesus rose from the grave, proving himself as God, and by doing so offers like something that is like literally otherworldly, like it's otherworldly in the sense that God offers us the power and the ability and a relationship, and through that relationship you gain the power and ability to bring real change to the world and to prepare this world for a future where there is no more evil or brokenness or chaos or death. Like, all of the bad stuff in this world is not going to be here forever, and that is because new and eternal life will be found with God, and that was paved the way for us by God, aka Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Anointed One, or as he's commonly referred to in our current 2022 world, Jesus Christ. If you follow Jesus and you resonate and agree with everything that I'm telling you, or at least I just said, then you would be called a Christian. That is who we are, followers of Jesus. And Jesus teaches in John chapter 3, he's having a conversation with this religious leader named Nicodemus, and Jesus has this conversation and tells him that you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And Nicodemus was like, born again? Like, I can't, you know, I can't crawl back up there. That'd be awkward. Jesus is like, no, not physically reborn, but spiritually reborn. And when I was studying that, it just kind of struck me about the idea of, like, what if that's actually true? Like, what if when I believe in Jesus, I'm literally, like, I'm reborn, and it's spiritual, but it's real. Spiritual doesn't mean fake or fantasy. Like, spiritual doesn't mean metaphorical. A metaphor would be not real. Like a metaphor, if I said we are like water, that would be a metaphor, because I'm not literally, well, I guess 70% of me is water. Anyways, we are not water. We're a human being with flesh and bones. But spiritual is not a metaphor. Spiritual is real, just like physical is real. And I believe that when we believe in Jesus and we follow Jesus, that we are spiritually born again. We are really born again. And so it kind of put it in this perspective, like, okay, so how does that change the way that I look at what it means to follow Jesus and become more mature? Because, like, ideally, honey, I don't know how you act around people, but ideally, if by the time I've been born, I've matured, both physically, because I hit puberty, and emotionally, because I've become wiser. But then now, there's a spiritual component to that. I have to, like, spiritually grow up and become an adult. And so I wanted to do this series to just have a really, really, really long conversation about that. And we're going to explore the stages of life from infancy to little annoying nugget toddler to middle awkward sixth grader to a high schooler to a college age, and then you're a big kid adult who has, you know, kids and whatever, and then you become an old person, and then you die, like in each stages of those life I'm learning different things. I think that could be true spiritually. Like, let's observe the stages of life and the lessons that a person would learn, and let's apply that spiritually. So, yeah, this is the first episode beginning that conversation. And I want to start with the very beginning of life. Where does life begin? Because here's the thing, life doesn't begin the moment you enter the world. Before you enter the world, life begins before that. Your life began, if we're really paying attention to the Bible and the ideas and the convictions within it and everything that God values, life begins at conception. I don't know where you stand politically, but I know there are probably many people who are listening to this podcast. There are many young adults who might find that as a point of almost controversy, because culture wants to try to teach us that abortion is okay, and that life, that, you know, what's going on inside the mommy's belly is just a conglomerate of cells, and they put together a really sorry excuse to justify murder. People will convince themselves of anything, but the reality is, like, abortion is a biblical issue. The reality is life begins at conception. This is not a political issue. And unfortunately, many of the morals that we hold on to today has been made into a political issue. But as a believer, as someone who follows Jesus, this is not about if you are Republican or Democrat or whatever. This is about matters of ethics and life and our ability to see value in people and value in creation. This is about our ability to live in the way that Jesus intended for us to live. So we're going to have a conversation about why life begins at conception. And because of the nature of this series, I actually do believe that the spiritual argument that we'll be making, because I want to talk from the perspective of your life begins at conception spiritually, in a spiritual place. But I really do believe it does kind of create a parallel for the physical life argument as well. I don't know how to explain it better than just going ahead and just diving right into it. So we gonna dive right in. Yeah. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up, because we're going to be diving into a couple of different places in the Bible. And we're going to start with Romans chapter 5. Now, let me go ahead and tell you now, friends, for those who are tuning in, and I don't know how old you are, but our podcast is designed for young adults. So, you know, maybe you're late high school, senior in high school, junior in high school, all the way through your senior in college. Well, actually after that, because there's still like young professionals. So maybe you're after college, you know, so you're still in your like early 20s. So you're like late, you know, teens to your early 20s. So anyways, that's who our podcast is for. And so to my intended audience, friends out there, the conversations we're gonna be having this whole year are gonna be pretty kind of crazy. It's gonna be a lot of head knowledge, way more than usual. Like, the podcast is where we get deep. I don't know if you're tuned into our YouTube channel. By the way, we have a YouTube channel and you should subscribe and check it out, and you know, just go get. So anyways, we have a YouTube channel, and if you're used to watching our YouTube videos, or maybe you follow me on TikTok or our TikTok channel, however you found this podcast, I'm assuming it's probably through a different channel. And usually I find that podcast listeners are like people who are like deep invested in what we're doing as a nonprofit, as an organization. And so, just so you know, these podcasts are just, they're a little bit more of like my world. It's not as much as we put together all these videos that are super simple and straightforward. That's how we want our ministry, is very simple. Hence, our ministry is called Simply Love Jesus. The podcast, however, is like where you guys get to get into my world, and just, we're going to be in the jungle, the thick jungle that has not been cleared or anything. And I've got the machete and just cutting down trees, and we're just going to venture this thing together. And it's complicated and crazy, and it's going to make your head swell up and whatever, but it's awesome. So yeah, just brace yourself. These conversations in the podcast, way more complicated than all the other content that we push out for you. This is like for those who are like, you know, you want to have your head cracked open. You want to dive in. You want to think about this stuff. Or yeah, that's what this is for. So that being said, Romans chapter 5. Sorry it took so long to explain that, but that's me, friends. You know me if you listen to this podcast a lot. So Romans chapter 5. We're going to really dive into this scripture, talk about a couple others. It's going to be great. We are going to read this in the NLT. So New Living Translation. I actually study from the English Standard Version, but I preach from the New Living Translation. You know what? I recommend the New Living Translation. I think it's wonderful for a lot of the reasons. We talked about this in a different episode. But for you as a young adult, like, I think it's a great translation for you to use. Anyways, Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into his place of undeserving privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Whew! Wow. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly hopeless, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. Now, you'll hear me in this podcast use the word sin interchangeably with evil, brokenness, death. But regardless, just giving you a heads up. So sometimes I may replace the word sin with one of those words. Now, most people would not willingly die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending the Anointed One which is what Christ means. So I may tend to use that, interchange that as well for its actual words. Sending Christ, the anointed one, to die for us while we were still me-focused. While we were still sinners. But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of the anointed one, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, has made us friends of God. And now we're going to read the actual part we were going to focus on. But, you know, I couldn't pass up the opportunity. Is that just not incredible? Hearing the word of God just being read to you. I don't know what your experience was with that, but reading it, it's been a while since I've read through Romans. And so it's just a blessing. Like when I read through that section, it's just so encouraging and like hopeful. And I just love that. I think it's beautiful. So that being said, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, where we're actually going to focus for this episode. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. When Adam's brokenness and the evil that he had decided, when Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. The law is what we would call the Old Testament. But it was not counted as sin because there was no yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of the anointed one who has yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's selfishness and God's gracious gift. Sorry about that, I was drinking water. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over evil and death through this one man, Jesus, the anointed one. Yes, Adam's one me-focused decision brought condemnation for everyone, but the anointed one's act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became me-focused. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. Interestingly way to think about that, though, is the fact that like that one person obeyed God, that's Jesus, but he's also God. He's like God's son. So it's like, but God obeyed God would make everyone right. It's really weird when you think about it. But continuing on, verse 20, God's law, the Old Testament, and now, you know, the fulfillment of scripture, was given so that all people could see how me-focused they were. But as people made selfish decisions more and more, people made evil decisions more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as you know, evil ruled over all of people and brought them death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus, the Anointed One, our Lord. So I read you that to kind of really explain how there is this physical thing that was done that brought death to all people. Adam's irresponsibility and allowing, you know, eating of that the forbidden fruit, eating of the tree of the garden of good and evil, the one thing he was asked not to do when he was tending over the garden. And why I tell you that is because that's an important thing I want you to keep in the back of your head as we read this next passage. So this comes from the book of Luke, when the angel tells Mary that she's going to be giving birth to Jesus. So we're going to back up a little bit. Now, it was before, you know, Jesus was born, okay? This is Luke chapter 1. It says, 6 months after Elizabeth had become pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee. The angel went to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Why is it so important that she's a virgin? Like there's a passage in Isaiah 7:14 where it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So they shall call him, I'm gonna rephrase that verse so it actually makes sense to our modern culture and understanding of the words. So behold, the virgin shall conceive and give bear a son, and his title will be God with us. And that's his identity, is God with us. So literally God with us, God born into the world. Okay, so there's this clear priority, okay? When the Savior of the world is born into the home, like, it's really important that she's not done it with anyone else yet. Why? Why is that so important? Well, one, within the Bible, or I'm going to be specific, even the cultures, ancient Jewish culture and, you know, Christianity, there is this emphasis on believing that sex is something that is only between what God intended. In the very, in Genesis chapter 3, we see that sex is intended for marriage. And this is a very sacred thing, and it's supposed to be beautiful, but it's supposed to be only blessed in marriage. That's where it is holy. Like, it's a holy, holy thing. Pretty sexy when you think about it. sorry, it's a joke. All right, whatever. Okay, have a sense of humor, people. Okay, so anyways, sex was designed for marriage. And, you know, because of that, that's how you reproduce, you bring people into the world. And so it's really important that if she's not married and he's not married, that they would wait until they're married to make love. So there's this huge priority put in this, and it seems everything that God has given us is not just for physical reasons and rules. Like, there's spiritual reasons for that as well. There's a spiritual reality, and that's tied to the book of Genesis, because he's supposed to bring people of God into this world who honor and follow him, but because sin entered the world, it messed everything up. So an angel appeared to a virgin promised in marriage to a descendant of David named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. There's this emphasis that clearly sex plays an important role. I mean, the actual coming together of a married couple, and they come together and they love each other, and the two become one, both physically, spiritually, emotionally. Their souls build ties to one another. They are just interwoven. They become one. And that oneness, first off, is a reflection of heaven and earth. And when sin enters the world, it splits them apart, that they're not one, they're two. but the goal is for them to become one again. There's this beautiful, beautiful theme of marriage and romance throughout the entire Bible. And I think it's one of the most poetic and beautiful things. But anyways, sorry, I got sidetracked. There's just such a beautiful thought, isn't it? Like, I don't know. You're stuck with me as long as you listen to this episode. So, you know, I'm gonna do what I want to do. verse 28, when the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. God is with you." She was startled by what the angel said and tried to figure out what this greeting meant. The angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant." But you're a virgin? Yeah, but you'll become pregnant. Give birth to a son, and his name will be Jesus. He will be a great man, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. Your son will be king of Jacob's people forever, and his kingdom shall never end. Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." Answer, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child developing inside you will be called the Son of God." So, to clarify some things, now that we live in 2022 and, you know, nothing's off limits when it comes to sexualizing things, especially in our culture, especially with young adults in this generation, hot topic. We're going to talk about that another day. I'm going to control myself. So the Holy God didn't like come down and have sex with Mary and therefore Jesus. That would be a very huge perversion. The reality is, though, is that it is through the power of God that he miraculously and gave her life. There is a certain level of power that created the child, and she became, and she's pregnant. It's a very beautiful thing to think about. It's a miracle. It's not God coming down and having sex with someone. I kind of just think of it like the Force in a sense, you know, like you watch Star Wars and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you just use the Force and boom, you know, the chosen one is born, which is actually that was an intentional parallel that George Lucas drew on as he kind of developed as like mythology, in the sense where it's just a virgin birth and that gave birth to Anakin Skywalker, the chosen one. Anyways, nerdy facts. Sorry. Okay, we're here to talk about the Bible and not about Star Wars. So verse 36, we're going to finish out this chapter. Elizabeth, your relative, is 6 months pregnant with a son in her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible for God. That's what the angel told Mary. Mary answered, "I am your Lord's servant. Let everything you've said happen." Then the angel left her. So there's this huge emphasis on Mary being a virgin, and clearly there's this like spiritual parallel to, you know, I'm going to use some graphic language, but you know, well, I guess it's not graphic, you know, grow up. All right. There's this physical action, like when a husband and wife, they come together and, you know, they make love. When a dude does his stuff, you know, there's like a seed that's been planted, and if it takes root in good soil, oh wow, sorry, I just had like huge revelation. Jesus also used the parable of the good sower. Oh my goodness, sorry, I'm like doing this. This is happening live, and I'm gonna keep this. I'm gonna keep this first take right here. Sorry, I just had a huge revelation as I was talking. I'm gonna finish my thought. So, then I'll go to what I was talking about. So there's this thing where when a husband, there's a reason why it's referred to as this, as a seed. And the idea is like, it's a seed planted in soil, and the soil, if the seed takes root, begins to grow. But Jesus also had a parable of using, that's why plants and physical life they are often used as a metaphor within not only the real or not only the real world, our world, but also in the Bible. And there's this parable that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 13. And it says that same day, Jesus, let's see, I'm going to get straight to it. Okay. So yeah, it starts right off. So Matthew chapter 13, that same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he had to get into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And when he told them many things in the parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear their with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, I would heal them. Drinking some water. or turn, and I would heal them. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Sorry, that was worded really weird. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and hear what you hear but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. When this seed sown along the path, or this is the seed that is sown along the path, sorry. I just wonder if that has anything to do with how the fact that, like, scientifically, like, you know, when a dude's seed enters the body, some of them don't take root onto the, I don't know what it's called, the thing. There's like a wall, and they like attach, and it's almost like that's the soil, and the man's stuff is the seed. But what's interesting is there are things in a woman's body. If I understand this correctly, this is the best I remember it. But I'm pretty sure there's like things in a woman's body that almost like fight against it. One of them, only one seed has to attach to actually produce life. Am I thinking of that? I swear I'm thinking of that correctly. If not, I'm going to correct myself next week if it's not correct, but I swear that's how it works. I was homeschooled. Don't judge me. Oh man. So don't judge me. I was homeschooled. So I'm trying to remember that correctly. This is all I'm essentially like preparing for our YouTube video when I'm recording these podcasts. Cause I want to, I learn best when I think out loud and I verbally process these things. So me recording this podcast is kind of like me preparing for our YouTube video, as I just also want to like authentically take you on the journey of what goes in my mind every single day. So anyways, so apparently, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom, when anyone hears the good news, the gospel, and doesn't understand it, the evil one, kind of like, if I'm understanding this correctly, kind of like certain things, like even in a woman's like body, that will try to fight off the different seeds. When we hear the good news, the gospel, and about the kingdom of God, and do not understand it, then the evil, the devil, demons, they come away and they snatch away what has been sown on their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. That's pretty hard to think about. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Those are like, that's like really hard to process, especially with like, we're talking about people here, you know? But the seed falling on good soil, just like a guy's seed attaches to the lady's body. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. Now, when we think of this idea that, like, Mary, she's a virgin, you know, there's like these, the Bible is filled with these parallels between plants and physical life, human life. We're often referred to as trees, like in the Bible, in like Psalms. And so there's this parallel, and therefore sex has such a high value to God, because it doesn't just represent the means of physical rebirth, but it's also the parallel for where spiritual birth begins. I don't know, like, I hope you're tracking with me. These are things that no pastor will talk about on the pulpit. I'll tell you that right now. I don't think you will ever hear a sermon like what we're talking about right now, how we're diving into this. These are just some transparent thoughts here, people. But I just think there's something beautiful about that. Like, it's beautiful. It is. It is just beautiful. And that's like where life begins. I mean, Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 11, it says, "And scripture tells us anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord and who give generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I mean, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you openly declare with that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. I mean, there's this idea that like salvation, the literal moment of salvation is when you come spiritually from death to life. And so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But this is verse 14, but how can they call on him to save unless they believe? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And that comes from Isaiah 52. But let's talk about Isaiah 52, because Isaiah 52 is this whole message where he says, like, you know, the reality is in Isaiah 52, it's gonna say like how beautiful on the mountains are the messengers, those who bring good news. He says the good news of peace and salvation, the news that God of Israel reigns. The watchmen shout and sing with joy, for before their very eyes they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song. for it. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord demonstrated his power before the eyes of all nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. Get out of your and leave your captivity where everything you touch is unclean. Get out and out there and purify yourselves. You who carry home the sacred objects of the Lord, you will not leave in a hurry running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted. And many were amazed when they saw him because his face was so disfigured. He seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one could scarcely know he was a man. And he will startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence, for they will see what they had not been told. They will hear what they had not heard about. Who has believed? Like, we just read this. Jesus is talking about this and to his disciples about the seed. He literally quoted that. He literally had talked about that last line where he talks about, for they will see what they have not been told. They will understand what they have not heard about. That right there is literally what Jesus meant when he's talking about the prophet Isaiah. He quotes him at a different part of Isaiah, but he says, otherwise, like, you know, hearing the gospel, hearing the message of the kingdom, he says, otherwise they may not see with their eyes or hear with their ears or understand with their hearts. And if they turned, I would heal them. And I just, wow. Sorry, I just think that's incredible that it would, that, I don't know, I've never seen that before, and I just think that's so cool. Anyways, I've read it, but now putting it together like this, I see those new cross-references. So anyways, Isaiah 53, all of this that I'm reading from Isaiah is the prophecy of the Anointed One. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the presence of the tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful and majestic about his appearance. Nothing attracted us to him, for he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our transgressions, our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, are being strayed away, for we have left God's paths to our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all. He was oppressed and treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in the rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins, and I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself unto death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Sing, O childless woman, you who never give birth. God, dude, that is like the most clear parallel. Oh my goodness, break into loud, joyful song, O Jerusalem, you who have never been in labor, for the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband, says the Lord. Enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, make no spare expense. I'm going to be ending up reading through the entire thing of Isaiah. Like, What is this? For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle in the ruined cities. Fear not. You will no longer live in shame. Do not be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. We're in Isaiah chapter 54 now. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth or the sorrows of widowhood. Gosh, for your creator will be your husband. And the Lord's heavens armies is his name. He is your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord God has called you back from your grief, and as though you were a young wife abandoned by her husband, says your God, for a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will take you back. In a burst of anger, I turned my face away for a little while. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth, so now I swear that I will never again be angry and punish you. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Guys, I don't even know if I can read anymore because he just keeps going for like four more chapters. Okay, but what was the point of all of that? Like, why did I just read you that just the most beautiful thing I've ever read in my entire life? The whole point of that was Isaiah getting a word from the Lord. And that word from the Lord was a message of hope to Jerusalem, the people of Israel, because they had rebelled. They were in exile. They had really screwed up, guys. They were really messed up. They were worshiping other gods. They were aborting babies. They were making live child sacrifices. They were doing some really messed up stuff. And God had to exile them as discipline. They were taken away into, I think they're in Persia at this point. But anyways, that was all happened. And they felt like God had abandoned them. They thought they were too messed up. They thought they were too screwed up for God to love them. But God did still love them. In fact, that's why they were in exile, because God loved them. He had to take them away like a child. Literally, that just reminds me of just like a child having a temper tantrum and just disobeying and just thrashing about everywhere, and they're just destroying his bedroom. Like, he's throwing toys around and he's hurting, and he could be hurting himself. Like, he could trip on something. And so the mom takes the kid away from the environment, takes him away from the environment that's causing him to throwing this temper tantrum with, and places him in a timeout or something, as if to let them reflect and to calm down and to reflect on their things. It's like the discipline. Like, what? Oh, I'm so glad we're doing this series, because I feel like I'm doing it for myself at this point. Like, it's just beautiful exploring this. So Isaiah, sorry, I'm getting so off track. I'm just going to post this. This is the first take, and this is it. I'm not scripting this whole series. This is going to be crazy. So Isaiah is saying all of this as a message to Israel, who has screwed the crap up, to let them know that God hasn't given up on them, and to help them understand that, like, the whole reason they're stuck in this brokenness is because of an internal problem. It's a heart issue. And that heart issue goes all the way back to, what did we read in our verses today's kids? We read in Romans chapter 5 that therefore we have been justified through faith. We have peace through God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wait, where is it? Here it is. Oh yeah, verse 12. We learned that just as sin entered the world, the whole reason they're screwed up, the whole reason we are, you and me, we're screwed up, the whole reason we're screwed up is because one man brought evil into the world. And because death, because of that evil, death came to all people, not just physical death, not just physical brokenness in the world, but spiritual death. They are both realities. Oh my. And so that, it takes us back to Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible. And at the very beginning of the Bible, there is this beautiful parallel to what? Your spiritual salvation is tied to this beautiful reflection, this parallel of our physical stages and lessons of life. And the that is why sex is holy. I guess that's my bottom line today. I get that's it's this I just I don't know, friends, like that. I don't know what to tell you. Like I'm just marveled. I'm just marveled right now. Because I knew what I was going to talk about going into this. I knew what I was going to talk about going into this year. The concepts, the ideas, they were kind of all up here. But now, as I like verbally process this and actually not just have it stuck in my head, but like talk it out loud and actually teach it, like I myself am seeing so many more cross references in the Bible to see how the Bible connects. That's always been like one of my biggest things. Like for the whole past year, I've been preaching to people all day. It's like, if it don't, I actually tweeted about it on Twitter a while back. I said, if it doesn't connect from the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible, you got to change it. You got to rethink it, because the Bible always connects. And we see that so evidenced. We see evidence of that here in what we're talking about on this podcast. This idea that life, both physical, well, life, spiritual life starts at conception, because it wasn't about what we did. It was about before we even could think. God had already tossed the seed on to the soil. And yet it's also like a reflection of like a life. It wasn't a decision that we made. You being born was not your choice. It was the decision of a husband and wife who came together, and they became one. Just as the heaven and earth are supposed to become one, just as us and God and the church and you know, it was in Isaiah, was the idea was Israel, but the whole point of like Israel is that those who are truly of Israel, the whole point of that is like having this relationship with God. So by extension, now it's the church. Because we are the ones who've chosen to follow God and not reject him. There's this marriage, and we see that in Revelation. Like, this is going to be a hard series to walk through, guys, because like literally to really fathom this whole thing would require us to like really just explore the whole Bible, because the theme is everywhere. It's literally everywhere. But I guess that's okay, because that's literally the whole point of this series. We want to grow you to spiritual adulthood. We want you to go to the stages of your life and be spiritually mature. And to honestly, to be spiritually mature, guys, you're just going to have to know this. These are things that you and me, we have to think through. We have to think about, and we have to explore the idea. And by doing this, wow, imagine how much closer of a relationship you're going to have with God when we're done with this series. By the end of the year, wow, And this is just like the first episode and we're already like, God, my head's exploding right now. I don't even know how to explain this. But I'm so happy I'm experiencing it with you. I'm really happy I'm experiencing this episode with you. So thank you for tuning in. What's the bottom line? I don't even know. That's just a conversation. This is not going to be a series with bottom lines. I really wish I could simplify this one for you guys. Maybe we will. Maybe as we go on, maybe, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll try to get simpler. But you know what? Even if it wasn't simple, I don't care. Like, that's not what's important. It's not important. It really isn't. I know we're Simply Love Jesus, but right now, for this conversation, your spiritual growth is way more important than a brand. It is way more important than that's actually very cruel of me to say, because our thing isn't a brand, we're a ministry. It's about imparting a philosophy that God put on my heart to share with you. But really, like, it's nothing new. It's just, it is a real reality, a real philosophy that God really did put on my heart to give to you. And I really believe it's going to help us grow closer to him. But it's not a business. This is a ministry. This is not for physical rewards. This is not for treasures on earth. This, the only paycheck at the end of the day that I really want is a spiritual one. That's where my treasures are, in heaven. It would be very more convenient for my life if there was a physical paycheck that came with this. Very more convenient. Wow, it would be more convenient. And it would free me up to actually focus on this more. But you know what? It's not whether I make $1 million or I make negative $1 million because of how much I've given away to people. All that matters is that I'm trying to grow you spiritually. I'm trying to help you live in the way that Jesus intended for us to live, that we can share his love and his goodness and his glory with a world who needs it, who is literally just in a place of brokenness. And you and I have the opportunity to love those people and to share his goodness and to share his love and to just share a reality that we can live in today. We can literally change the world if we all just grow and we all choose to just embrace that beautiful process of the fact that you're born again and you're a new person when you follow Jesus. But the reality is, like, the power to change you and the power to change the world wasn't a thing that you got for yourself. It was about what God has already done for you before you were even a thought, before you could even make choices. A decision was made without your permission. And that was the decision to be loved. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. And I hope that maybe if you're not even a believer, you don't even believe in Jesus, but somehow you found this episode. I don't know what I was even talking about this whole time. I knew what I was talking about, but I got lost myself. I was just so immersed in it. I didn't want to get out of it. I'm in a whole different, maybe we're in the same headspace, but maybe you've never truly believed in Jesus, but something has captured your attention. And I believe it's God. And I want you to pay attention to that voice. I want you to pay attention to that presence. I want you to pay attention and hear God. And if you've never given your life to Jesus before, I'm not going to give you a word. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. My only hope is that you would just talk to God and you don't overthink it. You just have a conversation, but choose to follow Jesus by believing that that Jesus truly did come down to earth. God was born into the world. Lived, died, suffered, and then rose again from the dead so that you could be born again. You could be a new person and an opportunity to put behind you all of the things that break you, all of the things that are breaking this world apart. I hope that you want to put all of your regrets, all of your mistakes, and all of the things that is not only breaking you, but breaking this world, and you want to put that behind you and live in a new reality where it's life. Then would you be born again by saying yes to Jesus? And if you do, wow, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. Yeah. If you did say yes to that, would you let me know? I would be just like so honored to just help you grow in this process and to help you be able to grow to be an incredible, incredible person who's just loving and reflected, or who reflects Jesus, who lives like him and brings love and hope to other people. I don't know. That's what I'm inviting you into. I'm inviting you into that. Say yes to it. It's really exciting. I've talked long enough for this episode. I hope I hope they aren't all going to be as long as this one. But I am just so grateful that you tuned in with me, and I hope to talk to you soon. And yeah, follow us on Instagram at SLJ Ministries. You can also find us on TikTok like that. Or you can also text SLJ to 678-831-9067. And you text the letters SLJ for Simply Love Jesus. Let me know how I can pray for you. And I'll see you guys next week. It's going to be good.